May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you again today. Today in the lectionary, in the church calendar, is often referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday. And so before we dive into the text, it's worth noting some of our context. You have enjoyed the leadership of a good shepherd, Pastor Jim, from the beginning of this congregation. He's a good friend of mine. I was able to talk to him just a week or two ago. He called to just kind of check up on things and see how we're all doing. And we can give thanks to God for his good leadership. You've had the blessing of being under the leadership of another good friend of mine, Pastor Steve Bergeson, who is also a very good shepherd, has a shepherd's heart. And so we can thank God for him. And of course, you're praying for your next good shepherd. Over the last 10 years, my context has been more in citywide ministry. And so it's unusual for me to get an opportunity to preach just straight out of the lectionary, except when I come here. And so I sometimes get that opportunity here. So I took a look back through my files to see when was the last time that I had preached on a Good Shepherd Sunday. And I had forgotten this, but I found out it was 10 years ago, almost to the day, and my context was similar to yours. I was in the middle of the biggest transition of my life. I had resigned a couple weeks earlier as pastor at Community of Hope. I had a couple weeks left, and all of us needed to hear from the Good Shepherd who cares for our souls. And so it was a massive trip down memory lane to reread through and re-remember that experience of transition from 10 years ago. This gospel text from John chapter 10, there are three different things that Jesus specifically says about what it means for him to be the good shepherd. Jesus is uniquely good. He's the uniquely good shepherd. All of us are kind of like his under-shepherds. The role of a good pastor, a good shepherd, is to point to the uniquely good shepherd. But that isn't just a pastor's job. In fact, pastor in the Bible is less a title and an office than it is a role. It's the role of caring for others, of looking out for those who might be in need of some extra care, of paying attention to dangers. And all of us have that role at different places in our life. All of us are responsible to care for others, to look out for dangers, and to give special attention to those who might need it at any given point in time. So as we go through this text and focus our attention on the uniquely good shepherd, at the same time we can reflect on what it means to follow him and be his under-shepherds in our spheres of influence. So that's our game plan for this morning. In verse 11 of John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He compares that to a hired hand who is in it for a paycheck. It's a job. The goal at the end of the day is to get the paycheck. And so you're just kind of putting in time in the meantime. If danger comes, the hired hand is likely to just head to the hills. Forget the last paycheck. It's not worth risking my life over. Jesus, by contrast, if he was only in it for self-preservation, he never would have left heaven in the first place. He left heaven for the express purpose of coming to give his life on our behalf. And so we can join with Peter and John in the reading from Acts, where Peter said, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we might be saved." Jesus is the uniquely good shepherd, because he loves us all the way to death and beyond. Jesus makes a point of saying towards the end of this text that he's choosing to lay down his life for us. It's not accurate to say that the religious leaders took his life from him and crucified him. That's part of the story. But I don't know about you, anytime I have read the last couple chapters of any of the four Gospels, I get the distinct impression all the way through that Jesus is in total control. Nothing is catching him by surprise. He knows what's coming. He knows what's going to come next. And at any point in time, he could have stopped the proceedings. It wasn't so much that the religious leaders and the Roman authorities took his life as it is that he laid his life down on our behalf. The uniqueness of Jesus' sacrifice for us is that it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. The nails were no contest at all. It was his love for us that held him there. That was what held him to the cross. There can be instances in this life as his under-shepherds where we might even love another to the point of death itself. First responders come to mind as they put their lives on the line, and sometimes they're called to give the ultimate sacrifice. The military would be another example. But Jesus is uniquely the good shepherd in that, first of all, he was God himself, God in the flesh. That's different from us giving our life for others. And secondly, when we give a sacrifice, it might help a few, but when Jesus, who is God in the flesh, gives his sacrifice, it's for the whole world. It's for all of those who lived in the past, who live in the present, and who will ever live in the future. His sacrifice is all-encompassing because he is uniquely the good shepherd. 1 John 3:16, which we heard just a few minutes ago, says this: "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." I don't know if you caught the address for that verse when I mentioned it, but it's worth noting. We're all familiar with John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all who believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." Well, this isn't John 3:16. It's 1 John 3:16. And it's just as powerful because it says, "This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we also ought to give our lives for one another." I would love your prayers for this afternoon about 4 o'clock. Here's the backstory and the reason that I'm asking for your prayers. All four of my now adult kids went to high school at Tucson High, and the last three were in the marching band there. So that means that for 11 consecutive years, I was a Tucson High band booster. And for many of those years, I was the president of the Tucson High Band Boosters. My daughter Amy became the drum major, and her co-drum major is now her husband. Then my son Daniel was the drum major, and then my daughter Emily was the drum major, all of them with the last name of Drum. So they all got to say, "I am Amy Drum Major, I am Daniel Drum Major, I am Emily Drum Major." All of them got to use that line. During most of that time, Mr. Chris Constantine was the band director, Mr. C. So the reason I'm asking for your prayers at 4 o'clock this afternoon, his 12-year-old son, his youngest son, died in his sleep a couple weeks ago of an epileptic seizure. He has one other son. He's divorced from his wife. When he reached out to me because he knew that I was a pastor. We got together at the Rose Garden over at Reed Park and just cried together. And they're having at 4 o'clock this afternoon, not really a service, because as he said, I'm not really religious. More like an open house at an event center. He asked if I would speak at it, and I said I'd be happy to do that, but it's a little bit different in that kind of a context than in a typical worship funeral type service. And so I wasn't exactly sure what he would want there. Well, later he asked if I would MC this gathering and invite others to share. And then thankfully, as I was praying, he said this. He said, well, you know, as you know, I'm not very religious, but I would love it if you could check off the God and Jesus box for our time together. I can do that. And I would love your prayers, because I would love for him and all of those who are there to come to know the uniquely good shepherd who can take away our deepest hurt by entering into it. I would love for all of them to get to meet a God who actually does know what it's like to lose a son. And so if you would join me in praying for that time, I would really appreciate it. As under shepherds of the uniquely good shepherd, we move toward pain instead of away from it. It's tempting to just want to head to the hills when things are really, really hard. But we enter into it because we have a good shepherd who can handle it all. And it's not about self-preservation. It's about pouring ourselves out for others and walking the walk with others as they're going through it. So Jesus is the uniquely good shepherd because he lays down his life for the sheep. In verse 14, we read that Jesus, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Earlier in the chapter, he says, the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. What an amazing gift that is, that we can come to know the voice of God and recognize it. We've probably all seen a movie at some point or another where there's a kidnapper, and so there's the ransom call, and so then they know the ransom call is coming, and so the police are there, and the call comes, and they've tapped the line, and so they're talking to the kidnapper, and the police are there in the background saying, keep him talking, because the longer he talks, the more we can record his voice, and then we can trace it and we can figure out what the voice is. We have this amazing gift. We have the whole voice of God recorded for us. And we can read it and we can come to recognize the voice of God, because it's all there and it's recorded for our benefit. And as good as that is, though, it's even better than that. I don't know about you, but when I call a business and I get a recording, I'm just praying for that moment when there's a live voice on the other end of the line. It's great to have the voice of God recorded for us. But it's even greater that we can hear his voice live and in person. Because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, not only laid down his life, but he took it back up again. He's alive and living, and we can talk to him. We can hear his voice. We can recognize its sound. And it's a living shepherd that we worship. When I was on my first overseas mission trip and taking the flight to Tanzania, the second leg of it was from Amsterdam down into Mount Kilimanjaro Airport in Tanzania. And it just so happened that I was sitting next to this woman from India. And so at one point in the flight, she started reciting some words. And of course, I didn't recognize them. So we started talking. And I said, well, what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm praying. I'm reciting these words. I don't even remember what the name of her religion was. She told me what it was, something from India. And so we started talking, and I talked about how prayer looks like for us as Christians. She's like, you mean you can talk to God personally? And he talks back to you personally? That was so different from her understanding of prayer, that you just recite some words that you may or may not even understand. That's the Good Shepherd that we have. He uniquely knows us, and we can know him, and we can have that kind of conversation with him. It's a two-way street, knowing and being known, both between God and us and between us and one another. I was with the African-American pastors on Monday, and they were talking about what a hard year it's been. Because, and of course, we would all say amen to that. It's been a very hard year. They were saying, we feel more like preachers than pastors because we've not been able to have the one-on-one relationship with people through this last year. All we've been able to do is talk through a screen. And that's such a far cry from the Christian life where we know one another and are known by one another. Some of you may know of or may know personally Pastor Jim Toole over at St. Andrew's Presbyterian. He's been a dear friend of mine for several years now. About 3 years ago, his wife was diagnosed with cancer, stage 4 cancer, and she's still fighting the good fight. Then last September, Jim was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so both of them are battling it. He died Friday night. And he recorded a number of videos since last September of just walking through what the two of them are walking through together and their boys together. And in one of those videos, he talked about, if I didn't share my story with all of you, I wouldn't be able to see the way the love of Christ is poured out to us through you, because you know what we need. We've shared it. That's the Christian life, where we're sharing our needs with one another. We're not trying to pretend like we have it all together, but we know one another and vice versa, so that we can actually minister the love of God to each other because the needs are known and we're being real and transparent. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. And that love is shared in both directions. Finally, in verse 16, Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Some of you might have been at the National Day of Prayer gathering that we held. It was like, I think 5 or 6 years ago. I think it was called United for Christ. It was down at the Tucson Convention Center. And instead of having lots of prayer gatherings all over the city, we had one big one, and all of us were there together at the convention center. At the beginning of that, Cameron Hood, another friend who was the worship leader, said, I wonder how many churches there are here today. And so people started saying, well, we're from this church, and we're from this church, and there were dozens. And he says, well, I can tell you exactly how many churches there are here today. One. We're one church with many congregations. That's what Jesus is talking about. Now, when Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, that has led to some very interesting biblical interpretations. I know some folks that believe that that's referring to aliens from other planets. Well, that's an interesting interpretation. Perhaps. That's not how I read it, but you never know. And then I've heard that the Mormons use this to make reference to Jesus coming to America to visit folks living over here in America. Well, the interesting thing and the wonderful and the unique thing about the Good Shepherd that we worship is that Jesus actually physically entered history at an identifiable time and place. We can walk where he walked. We can hear the words that he spoke. We're reading things that were written and that were spoken by him. He entered into history. Archaeologists can back it up. Historians can back it up. There isn't any reference of Jesus ever coming to America. But there's lots of evidence of Jesus coming where he came. Probably what Jesus was talking about was Jews and Gentiles. That's probably the other flock that he was talking about. He might also have been talking about Jews and Samaritans, because they didn't get along very well either. And of course, today it's completely appropriate to apply it to Lutherans and Presbyterians and Baptists and Pentecostals and Methodists, because we're all one flock with the same shepherd. And it's totally appropriate to compare it to Anglos and African Americans and Asians and Latinos. And it's completely appropriate to compare it to older generations and our generation and younger generations and different socioeconomic backgrounds. How do we know we're in the same body? If we have the same head. If we have the same head, Jesus Christ, we're in the same body. In fact, I think it might even be appropriate to apply it to Christians who are Democrat and Christians who are Republican. Just saying. It might even be appropriate to talk about that. I'm in this email interchange with a guy from California who went online and found our ministry, signed up for our newsletter, saw a few weeks ago where I was talking about small groups that we were doing that were bringing races together and bringing both political parties together. So he wrote me a note and he said, "That's impossible. There's no way that you can bring political parties together because there aren't even any Christians in the other political party." I'm thinking, well, that would be news to a whole bunch of my friends. Whole lot of my friends. So I said to him, if you'll read it, I'll send you the book that I just wrote on that topic. And he said, "I'll read it." So he's reading it now and letting me know all of my errors as he reads through the book. How amazing that our Good Shepherd created us with all of our uniqueness, all of our differences, all of our diversity. That doesn't catch him off guard at all. There's one flock, but the sheep are really, really different from each other. And Jesus is our shepherd who brings us all together. Jesus is uniquely our good shepherd. And so what you can pray for in this one as he brings us together under one flock is that after over a year of not being able to hold our John 17 weekends, if God raises up the leaders, we will be able to hold them again this fall, and we are counting down the days until those weekends can re-begin. Jesus is our uniquely good shepherd. He lays down his life for us, and so as we follow in his footsteps, we pour ourselves out for each other. He's uniquely our good shepherd because he knows his sheep and his sheep know him. And so we can grow to know one another at deeper and deeper levels so that we can share with one another, how is your soul doing? Not just what's the latest weather. And Jesus is uniquely our good shepherd because he binds all of us together into one flock, one body of Christ, with him as the head. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank and praise you for leaving the safe confines of heaven to come to earth in order to pour out your life for all of us. We pray, God, that you would continue to draw us into deeper relationship with you, into deeper relationship with one another, and into deeper relationship with the world around us. who needs to know your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.